is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks for kicking the week off right with us here on the Lombardi Line. The show, as always, presented by DraftKings alongside the one and only Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonatoni with you. We are coast to coast, as always. Michael out there at his office in Jersey. I'm live at downtown Las Vegas Circa Resort and Casino. Got a great couple hours ahead, Michael, but I haven't seen you since last Wednesday, so I need to hear all about the 4th of July weekend. How was everything?
Good. Did you win your? I didn't check. I got kind of swarmed into five grandchildren and running around. Did you win your hot dog betting contest? Did you do that?
We went 1-1. Unfortunately, and you know, here in Vegas, we can't actually bet on the hot dog eating contest here, sadly, although you know I wish with everything in my being that we could. But my two picks were Mickey Sudo over her prop, and I liked Jeffrey Esper as the favorite to win because he was always the bridesmaid, never the bride. He comes in second again. But Bertoletti, a nice underdog, plus 850 cashes, so I wasn't there with that one. But still so much fun to watch. Did you watch any of the contest?
I did not. No, I was running around. The weather was too nice, and you're just chasing people on the beach. I mean, it's exhausting. I need a vacation from a vacation, Stormy. It's tough. That's why you have kids when you're young, just FYI.
Okay.
Because when you get old like me, it's hard to run around and catch them.
I'm very jealous that the weather is nice there, Michael, because I don't know if you heard. Oh. We had record highs here over the weekend, 120 degrees in Las Vegas. And you see, Matt Youman's still out there golfing somehow.
I saw him. He's up at Prim. He's golfing up there. God bless him. I mean, I don't know what the hell he's doing. He's organizing the VSiN Invitational, which is his golf tournament every year at the end of August. So good for him. And I'm sure he's working on his, which I told him we have to have him on. He's working on his fast food rankings this year, too. So we have to have him on that so you can kind of grill down on him on some of that stuff.
Every year, my goal with Matt is to improve the ranking of Bojangles. And there's actually
that's
one.
That's right. I knew that.
There's actually a Bojangles that is being built. I saw the construction start forming on the corner down from my street. So it's been sitting there, a sign that says Bojangles is coming for like the last calendar year, but it appears that it's actually going to like start being built here in short order, which I'm very excited about. Real quickly on the heat though, by the way, Michael, my husband, so I don't know how I got roped into this. My husband this weekend wanted to go look at cars outside. And so I'm in 100 degree weather going from car dealership to car dealership, going to test drive a car when like the air conditioning,
oh, no.
I said, you can't get this car, Chris, because the air conditioning isn't doing it what it needs right now for this test drive. It was,
right.
I had, look at this. I have sunscreen that is in my purse, just a mini sunscreen that I'm keeping with me in the car at all times. It's insane right now. I can't believe it. You're so lucky you're in Ocean City.
Did you buy one? Well, did you buy one? All that testing and no buying?
No. No. So yeah, all for nothing. Hopefully it'll help make a bit more informed decision. And maybe I should have made a more informed decision on my partner for life if this is what we're going to do and be doing in my offseason. Okay, let's get to the nitty gritty. We do have a lot of NFL stuff to get into today. We're going to talk plenty of NFC based on the poll question that you guys had yesterday. We'll get to those results in a moment.
Also, I heard you had a commentary on that too, which I appreciated there. You were paying attention on a Sunday before you went car shopping. I appreciated that.
I am nothing if not loyal to the program, Michael. So yes, we'll discuss that as well as plenty of NFC North specifically coming up in hour two. We're going to have beat writers for the top two teams in the NFC North. Bill Huber covers the Packers for Sports Illustrated, as well as Dave Burkett is a Lions reporter for the Detroit Free Press. In a half an hour, we'll go behind the counter a little bit with Thomas Gable, sportsbook director of the Borgata in Atlantic City, like he always does on a Monday. But let's get to that poll question here to kick us off, which was, who is the biggest threat to the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC? The results are as follows. 40.7% of the vote that came in on your Twitter poll, Michael, taking the Detroit Lions at plus 550. The Philadelphia Eagles, the next closest at 28.2% of the vote at 7-1. Green Bay, very narrowly behind those Philadelphia Eagles, mind you, at 26.4%. Only 4.7 coming in on the Dallas Cowboys, who, as we know, three straight 12-win seasons, Michael, yet nobody is buying in on this Dallas team right now.
And our man Dave Ross was one of those 4.7 people voted just because he felt an obligation to vote, right? Because he's a Cowboy fan. I find it interesting. We're going to see Philadelphia and Green Bay in the opener on the Friday right before on Labor Day weekend. So that'll be first weekend of the NFL season. So that'll be exciting to see how we've handicapped both those teams. But I think the fans have gotten it correct. Look, the debate about Philadelphia, on paper, they look really good. But we saw it on paper, they look good last year. You know, and does it translate? And what's going to mean? What does Saquon Barkley mean to their offense? And how do they incorporate him in, knowing that Kellen Moore wants to throw the ball as much as he does? So I think this is right. I find Dallas to be less than thrilling this year in terms of their commitment to what they've done defensively in the defensive front. Couldn't stop the run, really, when you boil it down last year. And the lasting memory we have they slowed Green Bay down ever? If you go back and watch that tape, Stormy? No, never.
Yeah, it's been an interesting situation there. And with this Cowboys team in general, I feel like, and so maybe I'll just read the tweet here that I sent in to you guys yesterday. I said, Jerry's all in, clearly has voters all out in this poll. And not only did we have Dave Ross on the program, how is it that two of your three rotational hosts on this show are Cowboys fans, but Femi unintentionally catching strays there as well on his final off day of his
All
vacation.
He was doing is traveling back from Minnesota, which he's, can you believe I asked Femi today on the pod? He's gone to Minnesota. His fiance is from Minnesota, and he's never watched Grumpy Old Men. Like, it was filmed in Minnesota. It's, you know, and I... So, and he was fishing. He was out there lake fishing. I'm like, have you never watched this? You
it's
know,
a classic.
It's a lot to overcome. It's a classic. Like, and you get summer and winter and Grumpy Old Men 1 and 2. So, I don't understand it.
You got,
I don't
okay,
get
yeah,
him sometimes. I've had to force him to watch The Sopranos.
We definitely have to work that into the rotation. And I was proud of him for watching The Sopranos, though. I felt like I was rewatching it through his eyes, which was fun. but so this Cowboys team, though, to your point, Michael, it's a team that has done nothing to get better and on paper seems to have only gotten worse. And I haven't even gotten to talk to you about the Dak Prescott ankle boot situation of it all. And if that's something to be concerned about leading into training camp.
Well, I mean, we've seen it off and on. I mean, look, when he's going to come into training camp, and if he doesn't pass the physical, then we know something's wrong. And if he misses the first week or so, I don't think it's really an issue. Trey Lance needs to get as many reps as possible, right? They want that. They want Trey Lance to be the backup quarterback. They want to see if Trey Lance could eventually be the cheap option, I think, for Dak instead of paying him $60 million.
Ooh.
Because they know they don't have any rights to Dak afterwards. Yeah, I know there's a wolf buzz, your girlfriend, wolf. Anyway, so I think, to me, you know, it's we're in July. And if he's in a boot, who cares? It's when he comes time in the middle of August, if he's still in that boot, then we've got concerns. Or if he's got to go for more testing and all that, then you know it's a problem. But right now, I would say no.
Okay, well, that's good then for Dallas fans and people that are believing that maybe this Cowboys team can put something together. Again, the Eagles, we know, are an even money favorite in the division right now, whereas it used to be Dallas, when things opened, was on top. They became co-favorites there for a while, but it seems like Philly has just really taken off in that division specifically. But the Eagles, and we're going to have step into my office in a moment, and there's some people that are going to have a talking to, but a lot of the Eagles game that was interesting to me last season was I felt like throughout the front end of the year, despite all of the success they had, there were a lot of holes that weren't being recognized. And the back end of the year was when you had to pay the piper ultimately, and they go 1-6 down the stretch. Can they be the team that they were 2 years ago with some of the new pieces that they've incorporated? I'm excited to see if that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's Philly. They were not in great shape at the end of the year. Whatever they did conditioning-wise in terms of Nick Sirianni's program at they left camp, they were not. I mean, the Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter probably put on 100 pounds between the two of them during the season. You know, they were not in shape. They couldn't really rush the passer the way they wanted. Now they add Bryce Huff, who's outstanding. They kept Sweat on the team. They're hoping Nolan Smith Jr. can come through and give them some pass rush. But look, this is a team that's going to be limited at their linebacker position. And last year, what we saw, what they were able to do, teams were able to do, is spread them out. Remember, this team lost to Arizona at home last year. Arizona ran the ball up and down the field on them. They threw it. They did whatever they needed to do against them, scored 30-some points against them. So They're going to have to play better in the front seven. There's no question. Is Devin White good enough? Because when he got benched in Tampa, Tampa became a better defense. That's true. And Zach Braun, who they signed from New Orleans, can he play linebacker? This is a team that doesn't want linebackers. They rely on their front. But if their front's not in good shape, it's a problem.
And we appreciate all of the fan and audience interaction with this poll as well. Joe4781 said it's the Eagles. 49ers D-line has always had issues with mobile quarterbacks. I've always felt as talented as they are. They always had issues with lane integrity. I'll always pick the Niners when they line up against a pocket passer. Another interesting person that chimed in with a team off the board said, Michael, the Rams have an outside shot to win that division. Just saying, that win total of 8.5 for them is too low. That's at T George Sports. Any thoughts on Los Angeles there?
You know, I think he's right, but there's a big caveat. Are they going to redo Stafford's deal because he's not happy with it, and can he stay healthy with his shoulder? I mean, last year they were worried he couldn't throw the ball. They were trying to trade him, and he proved them wrong. He was able to offset the injury. I think those are the two question marks I have about the Rams, because if they can run the ball and win with their offense, control the pace of the game, kind of play smart football – we know they're not great on defense, and especially losing Aaron Donald, but they'll be good enough to hang around. It's going to be that offense has got to carry them, and it's got to start and ends with Stafford. I mean, Stafford is the reason they're going to be in this, and he wants to get a contract commensurate with these other quarterbacks are getting.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, this poll will be a theme for us throughout the course of the show here on the Lombardi today, but we are just getting started. So much more to come. And let's stick with this theme in mind for our next segment, as there are coaches, players, and executives in the NFC that need a little guidance ahead of the 2024 season. Guidance only Michael Lombardi can give. We are stepping in to the office of Michael Lombardi next here on the Lombardi Line. Stay with us.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The wait is over, ladies and gentlemen. Our all-new NFL betting guide is out now, and this bad boy is locked and loaded with in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends. Everything you need to bet the season smarter. Plus, of course, our experts are sharing their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props. For a limited time, you can get our VSiN annual subscription for just $199, usually $240, when you use our promo code Lombardi. We're giving you that deal, plus we're throwing in an extra month for free. That gets you the guide as well as VSiN Pro access to everything we do here at the network, including the daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits, and so much more. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this awesome offer. VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can sign up. And again, use that promo code Lombardi to get the 13 full months of VSiN Pro for $199. We'll be right back.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk, winger. Step into my office.
And Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Now, because the Lions were our audience's top vote-getter as the biggest threat to the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC, it only made sense that Dan Campbell needed an appointment to come see you, Michael. So as he steps in, obviously this Lions team came just short of a spot in last year's Super Bowl. And now, coming into this season, true championship expectations for the first time in a long time for this franchise. What does Campbell need to do for his team to live up to that Super Bowl hype?
Don't even think about last year, Campbell, Dan. I think that's the number one thing. What gets expectations are the people from the outside the building put expectations on people inside the building. And really, the way you handled last year was magnificent. You only had one bad loss. That was to Baltimore, who romped you, and you're able to bounce back from that. You started the year off at 6-2 before your bye week. Outstanding. Lost an overtime game to Seattle, had a chance to win that, had a chance to beat Dallas late in the year. So for me, this is really all about, you've got an early bye, start the season and focus strictly on the Rams, because you have a tough schedule ahead of you. You play the NFC West except for San Francisco, before your bye week. You open up with the Rams, you play the Cardinals in Arizona, and you get Seattle back in Detroit again as they did last year. So this is about starting 3-1. This is about getting off to a good start. And this is about not getting yourself over your skis, because you have to climb the mountain all over again. I think all great teams start at ground zero. John Wooden used to teach his team how to put their socks on before every season. And this is when they were undefeated in basketball season. So you've got to drill home the fact that we're starting over, that the most important game of the year is the Ram game, and that nobody's going to look ahead. And as long as you don't look ahead, as long as you talk in the present tense of what's moving forward, your team will follow suit.
I know it's cliche, but what does every head coach say going into each week? Just got to go 1-0 this week. They are a 3.5-point home favorite in that week one Sunday night football game, hosting the Rams, total 51. Detroit, the second shortest shot to win the NFC, 12-1 to win their first Super Bowl in franchise history. Staying in the NFC, we are headed out to Philadelphia, where Jalen Hurts has stepped into the office. He cashed in with a $255 million deal last offseason after finishing second in the league in MVP voting. Took a decent step back in 2022, threw a career-high 15 picks, 5 fumbles lost, more than double his turnover number from the year prior. And the Eagles, as we talked about last segment, had a lot of issues that caught up with them down the stretch, going 1-6 in a first-round loss to Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers. What does Hurts need to do to play up to this deal and lead Philly back to the Super Bowl?
You got to become engaged, Jalen. I think what happened to you last year is your team, you know, you were not connected to your team. You sat by yourself. You didn't lead with your actions. You kind of just led with your behavior. And that wasn't really going to encapsulate everybody around your team. You've really got to endear yourself to your teammates. You've got to get in that huddle. You've got to inspire people. And you've got to take the game over. And I think that's going to be the most important thing. I mean, you did not play well. The team did not play well. You got sacked too many times. People understand how to rush you now. And I think that's the most critical thing. People think your eye level's way down. People think that if they force you to scramble to your left, away from your throwing hand, the play's over and they'll win the play. And you're going to have to prove them wrong. You're no different than a basketball player who has to prove to the defender that he can shoot with his left hand. And he being right-handed. It's going to be happening every single year. And I think ultimately that's going to be the key. You're going to have to prove that. But most importantly, you got to get your teammates back on your side. You were a little bit of aloof last year, and I think it affected the team. It affected the energy of the team. And you're going to have to show that you can throw the football effectively. Now, I know you've already come out and said this is Kellen Moore's offense, but you're involved here. You have as much responsibility towards winning as Kellen Moore does. So this isn't about passing the baton, about not assuming accountability. You've got to have accountability and responsibility.
That impact in the room with the teammates, something I think is definitely worth noting as we go into this coming season. We'll talk MVP a little bit later on in the show, but Zach Cohen in our NFL betting guide did like Hurts for MVP at 18-1 with the belief that he'll get back to that more explosive form with Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator and Saquon Barkley there to hand the ball off to. How about Jordan Love, quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, entering year two of the Love era in Green Bay? His first year as a starter had 32 touchdowns, second most in the NFL, and helped his team overcome a 2-5 start to make the postseason. Now, last year, they certainly exceeded expectations. The forecast for Green Bay this year is to be even better despite a more challenging schedule. What are you telling Love today as he looks to make Green Bay a true contender?
Jordan, I think the most important thing is you have to build off of what you did late in the year, not what you did against the Giants where you didn't play as well. It's when after that Giant game, I know you lost to Tampa Bay, but from that point forward until the championship game, until the game against the 49ers, fourth quarter, you played exceptionally well. Your quarterback rating was well over 100 every single game. You didn't turn the ball over. You were throwing touchdown passes. You were making plays with your arm and with your feet. You were unbelievably accurate in that time. And I think to me, that's the quarterback the Packers need this year. If you're going to be the quarterback that was against the Giants or the quarterback against the Raiders, where you're 16 for 30 and you can't complete the ball and you turn the ball over 3 times, that's it. So to me, this season isn't about where are you going. This season is about who you are. Are you the great player we saw up until the fourth quarter of the 49er game, the last half of the season, or are you going to be somewhere in between? Good 1 week and not good the next. Consistency is really your enemy right now, and that's what you've got to come through to. And I think if you do that, your team's going to really play well. But we're not sure what we're going to get. Are we going to get the quarterback who lost to Pittsburgh? Or are we going to get the one who beat Dallas in Dallas?
And I do love the way that you framed that question throughout the offseason of, is the Jordan Love that Matt LaFleur largely, it appeared like, was trying to protect him the first half of the season, is that who he is, or is it the guy the back end of the year? So hopefully we'll get that question answered. Bill Huber, by the way, is going to join us coming up in hour two. We'll get the latest on Jordan Love's contract as well. The Lions are the favorite in the NFC North at plus 150, but Green Bay not far behind, plus 210, and the Pack 8-1 to win the NFC, 19-1 in the latest Super Bowl odds. Now, the team that they stomped in the postseason en route to that next game against San Francisco, the Dallas Cowboys. Mike McCarthy comes into the office. He's set to enter 2024 as a lame duck coach, Jerry electing not to extend him this offseason prior to the year. Three straight 12 winning seasons under McCarthy, but just 1-3 in the postseason in that time. And as I mentioned, a disappointing postseason loss. What message does McCarthy need to hear in what is clearly a do-or-die season in Dallas?
Mike, I think what you have to do is you've got to take accountability for the loss to Green Bay, your team and you, and then you've got to bury it. You've got to move forward. But what you really have to do is learn the lesson of that game. And I think the lesson of that game was you panicked. I think once you saw that you couldn't get control and they moved the ball with such ease that you tried to get into a track meet with them. Yeah, sure. You had 510 yards in the game, but you turned it over twice. Yeah, sure, you completed 41 passes, threw three touchdown passes. You also threw in two interceptions. Yeah, sure, you ran for 123 yards. You moved the ball down the field, but you lost the game. I think, to me, that game for you is bigger than whatever the contract extension could come. It really becomes down to you have to manage games correctly, and you just can't go out and get in a track meet with people. And I think that's going to be really critical. I think that's going to protect your defense. This game taught you that no matter how good you might think your team is, you're not going to be able to play a track meet against some other teams. And the Packers beat you at your own game.
Dallas is 7-1 to win the NFC, a place they have not been since 1995, the last time that they won a Super Bowl. Super Bowl odds for the Cowboys this year sitting at 17-1. I still can't get over what you were saying to start the show about Trey Lance, Michael. I like forget sometimes that he's even in the league anymore. He's just so like secondary, tertiary in my brain.
You hear how Jerry talks about him. Like they talk at like they liked him coming out in the draft. I know Jerry said it though. And to me, if he shows anything, I'm just telling you, if he shows anything, that's $60 million all of a sudden, you could get it down to 20 for Trey Lance and you're saving $40 million.
That would be just such a mind blowing thing.
I know.
But regardless whether it's in Dallas or elsewhere, Dak is going to get paid next offseason. That is for sure. But Trey Lance, the quarterback in waiting, just is. Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Somebody that makes me smile and not throw up. Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata in Atlantic City, will stop by next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, you'll love all of our betting tools and content available at VSiN.com. We got best bets each and every day from all of our show hosts and experts, updated betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting guides, and more. Even in the dog days of summer, our VSiN experts and analysts are weighing in with daily articles in Major League Baseball, WNBA, Wimbledon, and more. Plus, if you're listening to this show, we know you love the NFL. VSiN managing editor Adam Burke, as well as senior writers Tyler Shoemaker and Zach Cohen, are going through each and every team in the NFL, offering a State of the Union overview for each, as well as a pick or lean on their season win total. If you haven't stopped by VSiN.com yet, now's the time. It's your one-stop shop for all things sports betting. Alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome in via the Progressive guest line, Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata in Atlantic City. As we continue our theme talking all things NFC today, Thomas, welcome in. Before we get to that, how was the weekend? Haven't talked to you in a while. How was 4th of July and all that good stuff?
I mean, it's a strong, strong weekend for the business as a whole. Wright was good on Major League Baseball and Wimbledon and WNBA, but, you know, as Michael knows, the shore gets packed Jersey Shore as a whole gets packed. And with 4th of July being on a Thursday this year, it seemed like everybody kind of took off that entire week. That just was the way it seemed to me. Like it was busy every single day. It didn't matter what day of the week it was. It stayed busy through the weekend. So, and we had some really good weather too. So everybody got to enjoy it outside.
And just got to know that everybody is waiting for that parade down Broad Street for both the Sixers and the Eagles, because with the news of the week of the 76ers, TG, and of course the Eagles are going to win every game and, you know, twice on Sunday. So it's pretty much everybody's pretty happy around here. Not many unhappy Philadelphia fans in the area. And then the Phillies are playing good, right, TG?
Right. Yeah. And the Phillies are playing well, obviously out in front in their division. So dealing with some injuries right now with Harper and Schwarber, but they're still leading the NL East, and you know, as you said, life is always good in Philadelphia, right?
So TG, maybe this is a silly question, but as we transition to the NFC talk, Michael and Dave Ross had a poll question out yesterday: who's the biggest threat to the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC? And the poll, the overwhelming results were that it's the Detroit Lions. The second pick was the Philadelphia Eagles. Where you're at in terms of betting handle and the way people are approaching things, does everybody think that it's the Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the bets they've come in to win the NFC, so to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC, Eagles by far have taken the most bets, most handle. We're probably the only book in the country that can say that the Giants have the second most bets in handle in that category. But so throw that out, because that's obviously just due to location. But the Niners have attracted a decent amount. They are the favorite. The Lions, they also have attracted a decent amount. And again, they're right there with Philadelphia, 6-1 to win the NFC. And I know we're going to get a little bit deeper into that division, but the Lions certainly have been a popular play, as has their division rival, really, in the Green Bay Packers. The Packers have also been a very popular play, not just in the NFC, but also in the division as well. When you get into the division odds, we saw some respected money come in very early on the Packers this year. When we opened up the division futures, they were plus 225. They're now down to 2-1 to win the NFC North. And a lot of that was due to the respected money that came in on them. And when you look at bet count and handle for the NFC North, the Packers have the share there. Lions have attracted some decent amount of money, but Packers have the most handle written on them.
Hey, TG, you know, what people don't realize is this area is Cowboy fans. There's as many Eagle fans as there are, and there are a lot of them. There are a lot of Cowboy fans. It kind of involved in the South Jersey area and North Jersey too, partly because they were America's team for so long and it was the only game that was worth a darn. So are you surprised they're not getting any love as a potential chance to challenge the 49ers?
A little bit. I think, honestly, the general feeling, it seems like, with the Cowboys, this is a team that did not get better in the offseason. You could make a case that the Eagles possibly have. Certainly Washington, you know, drafted Jaden Daniels. They should be improved. Giants are kind of still there at the bottom of the division. But the Cowboys, it seems to me that the general feeling is that this team is not improved, and that maybe last season they overachieved a little bit. And maybe some regression is going to set in there. Obviously, there's questions at running back with Dallas. So I'm a little surprised, because you said, you know, they are America's team. They always are going to get public backing. But at least from what we've seen so far in terms of money and bets have come in, it hasn't really been – Dallas has not been a focus here of the better so far.
Sportsbook director at the Borgata in Atlantic City, Thomas Gable, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. To go back to the North, because you mentioned that the Packers are taking the most handle in that division, has any love come in for the Chicago Bears to exceed that win total, to potentially win the division with Caleb Williams overtaking that quarterback position. A lot of weapons on that offense.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly a ton of weapons there. And, you know, we start looking at them. They have season win total of 8.5, heavily juiced to the over, there. And they play 9 games before playing the division game, which is a scheduling quirk. But it gives Caleb Williams some time to get used to the offense with all his weapons at his disposal. And they also added DeAndre Swift. So this is going to be a very capable offense for Chicago. The defense last year, it was a tale of two seasons. First half was very bad, second half very good. But can that play carry over and make them a legit contender in the division? I think the Lions are just too strong. And if Williams gets hurt, their lack of depth there with Tyson Bagent and Brett Rypien behind him is a little concerning for me. But for the most part, they have been a little bit – bettors have been bullish on Chicago as a whole. Detroit, who are the favorites to win the division, plus 130, you know, last year pretty much established themselves as a team in the top tier of the NFC. And season win total here is set at 10.5. They should have another solid crack at it with this offense pretty much intact from last season. Most importantly, coordinator Ben Johnson returning. I think their schedule is very manageable. And while they obviously have some upstarts there in their division with Green Bay and Chicago, I like this win total over here. I think Detroit, I mean, so close to a Super Bowl berth last year, and they're basically returning a very similar team to what they had last year. And then, you know, leads us to Green Bay as that other basically third contender in the division, currently 2-1. Like I said, they opened 225, now 2-1. Season win total is 9.5. And this team has a lot of hype coming into the 2024 season. Big pickup of the offseason was Josh Jacobs, a running back. And full disclosure, for me personally, I've already played their season win total under. Jordan Love, after that 2-5 start last season, played incredible football, very few interceptions, threw 32 touchdowns. But I personally believe some regression is coming, particularly with the turnovers for Jordan Love. His accuracy was just incredible last year. I got to believe that there's going to be some regression coming. If he proves me wrong, so be it. But I'm also not a big believer in the defense, which has a new coordinator. And I would not be surprised in the least to see this team potentially finish third to Detroit and Chicago in the division. But if Jordan Love can play like he did last season, then obviously this team could potentially compete for the division. But I have to imagine there's going to be some regression coming there.
TG, real quick, we got about a minute. Rams. So a lot of people think the Rams have a chance to be the team that upsets the 49ers. Your thoughts?
Well, it's that was where the early, again, respected money came in that division was on the Rams. Open 4-1, that plus 375. So I think, you know, if there is a team, obviously, in the NFC West that can challenge the Niners, it's going to be the Rams. I don't see the Seahawks or the Cardinals being in that race. But L.A., I think I still have some major questions, though, with their defense.
Understandably so, especially when you lose a talent Hall of Fame worthy like Aaron Donald. There's going to be naturally a step back there. TG, you are awesome. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, TG.
That said, for the sake of my Rams to make the playoffs bet, I do hope that Matthew Stafford stays healthy because I know that's a big part of it as well, Michael. We're going to hit the break here when we come back. Diving into the betting handle for a few NFL awards. And just like we discussed earlier this offseason, how there's an actual set criteria for comeback player of the year this year, there are also criteria that we can follow as bettors to help us make more informed decisions in these markets. We'll touch on that and more when we return on the Lombardi Line.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide. The guide's jam-packed with everything you need to know to bet the NFL smarter this season, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for each, new quarterback and new head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from our VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards markets. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or you're just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets this season. Head to vsin.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's vsin.com/guide. And speaking of awards markets, we're going to dive into a couple of them now as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. Starting with MVP, where to the surprise of no one, I'm sure, Patrick Mahomes is your favorite in this market at plus 450. But something that might surprise those of you at home listening is that he is not the player that has taken the most bets so far. That, in fact, goes to CJ Stroud coming off of his Rookie of the Year campaign. And it's not a small number, Michael. 20% of the handle and 15% of bets are riding with CJ Stroud. What do you think? Will it be a sophomore slump or MVP caliber year two for the young guy?
I think that's a lot of pressure to put on him. I mean, CJ Stroud did a nice job last year of really blending in, of kind of utilizing his skill set, his talents, and the scheme helped him tremendously. And of course, Nico Collins' emergence and when Tank Dell was going. I think this year, and Devin Singletary ran the ball effectively for him last year. But I think more than anything, I think they're going to need, he can't carry the team alone. And I think this MVP award goes to the quarterback when the team is really good around him, which Houston would be. So it makes sense in that area. I'm surprised based on what we saw, Jared Goff's not getting more love at 30-1. You know, we think the Lions could uproot if the Lions upseat the 49ers and get the number one seed and Goff plays like he has played, how does he not win the MVP, Stormy?
Yeah, and I will say, Michael, he has taken money, right? Because at DraftKings initially, the price was 40-1. I've seen here at Circa as low as like 25, 23-1. So he's getting bet places. But I agree with you in terms of the handle, especially at the number with which you're getting. It feels like a really good bet there, especially when you're looking at perception of the team. And there are some questions about Houston where yes, there's all of this talent, but this is a team now that has to play a first place schedule. This is a quarterback now who had a breakout rookie season, unbelievable, historic even. But like now teams have a full season of tape on him too to dive into his skill set. So there are some question marks from that standpoint. Patrick Mahomes is getting the second amount of highest handle and number of bets, followed by Aaron Rodgers at 16-1. And then Goff and Joe Burrow and Jordan Love all at about 6% of the handle in that spot. One thing that I did think was good to take away from this is that bettors are recognizing this is a quarterback-specific award these days. 11 yeah. straight MVP winners have been quarterbacks, 16 of the last 17. The only non-quarterback dating back all the way to 2007 was Adrian Peterson, 2012. Also, something I found interesting, kind of going through criteria for quarterbacks to win this honor. Over the last decade, the last 10 quarterbacks to win this honor, they have all won their divisions, and 7 of the last 10 finished on the team with the highest win percentage in the league. The other two more of them finished second, and one finished fourth. So it's like the fourth best team in the league in the regular season is about the limit that you can get here. So those are questions you need to ask about CJ Stroud, about Jordan Love, about Josh Allen, Anthony Richardson, as you go through this. Not only does your quarterback have to be really freaking good, but on a team that's likely going to be a 1 or a 2 seed.
Correct. And so I want to ask you a question as I was thinking about this when I saw the odds. So let's having watched Hard Knocks and the conversations about Saquon Barkley. So let's say the Eagles are the number one seed and Hurts plays good, but they run the ball like they did 2 years ago where, you know, Hurts had 1,000 yards rushing. He had 150 some carries. He was really good in the run game. And Barkley does what Miles Sanders did, almost 1,200 yards, maybe more, a bunch of touchdowns. And is he the MVP of the league? Would he be? Now, here's where it gets sticky. This is why it's a quarterback award, because he's 16-1 to win Offensive Player of the Year. But he's not that to be MVP of the league when if the Eagles are the running team that we think they could be,
right,
and Barkley's carrying the load, how does he not get that?
So, Michael, I think that it just goes back to the quarterback award of it all. Maybe they go to another team where a quarterback was stellar and they're a two seed, right? And it doesn't go to the Eagles. But Saquon wins offensive player of the year. That's the way I probably could see that shaking out a little bit more, just because we don't see running backs. You don't see wide receivers win this honor. It is just the tide has shifted to where I think they should honestly just change MVP to quarterback of the year, essentially. In terms of the MVP market, the shortest shot to win MVP for a non-quarterback is Christian McCaffrey at 40-1. I'm trying to find Saquon's number, 150-1 for him in this market.
I couldn't find him. That's why I asked the question. Yep. He's 16-1 for offensive rookie. He's got really good, other than Breece Hall, he's got the best. No, Christian McCaffrey has the best number, and Ja'Marr Chase. But to me, McCaffrey's not going to do it. Kyle Shanahan's already said the key is to keep him healthy. So we know he's going to shut him down. He's not going to let him just carry the ball and run it. I think that's, to me, I think McCaffrey can be the offensive player of the year, but they're not going to let him be that because they need him healthy in the final part of the season, right? So that's why I wouldn't play him even at 750. Mm. That's why I think Barkley at 16-1. I mean, if the Eagles run the ball effectively and he controls it and he takes over, and assuming he stays healthy, I don't see how he's not in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, and that's what the Eagles want from him. But I feel it's very similar to, remember how last year, Michael, when we were trying to get Tyreek Hill a little bit more respect when he was on the ridiculous run he was on, and he was still, even when he was just mashing everyone in the league, like 18-1 in the MVP market, because the expectation is that it's going to go to a quarterback. Let's talk offensive player of the year a little bit further, though, because your point about Christian McCaffrey is well taken. We've seen the comments from Kyle Shanahan about needing to protect Christian from himself, so maybe a little bit of a reduced workload there. But also, I do have concerns for him a little bit from an injury standpoint, because we're on two full seasons now of this guy staying healthy after just a slew stretch of him dealing with like dinged up issues year after year. And so I wonder if that catches up with him. Is the other shoe going to drop on this? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's just me being pessimistic as a 49ers fan. I don't know.
Well, that's a great point, but I think here lies the difference in that is that he was the offense in Carolina. It was him. He had to do everything. Here, he's what I've been saying about him there is, and this is no disrespect to the player at all, he's a luxury item in San Francisco. He's a luxury item. He doesn't have to carry the load. He doesn't have to be the, you know, we got to give him the ball 30 times in this. So it takes some of the wear and tear off him. And I think Kyle's smart enough to say, okay, less of Christian is more of Christian.
100%.
And that's really key. And I think that's why the injury factor hasn't been as bad.
Also, in terms of offensive player of the year, good to note, there has not been a repeat winner since Marshall Faulk in 2000-2001. CMC won it last year, so maybe that is a name just for all of these different reasons you stay away from. Breece Hall, who you referenced earlier for the Jets, he has taken the most handle in bets here so far at 15-1, 11% of the handle, 6% of bets, followed by Bijan Robinson at 20-1. He's got 8%, as does Ja'Marr Chase at 12-1, also getting 8% of the handle. 16% of bets, though, so a lot of smaller tickets on Ja'Marr Chase there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think a lot of this is tied to, well, he has T. Higgins he's sharing the football with, right? He's got, you know, does Joe Burrow stay healthy? I think that's the key. But Chase, when healthy, see, I think this is what happens to Chase and Hill. They draw so much double coverage, it's hard for them to have great games week after week after week, especially the way teams try to take them out. It's always that second guy that benefits from them. T. Higgins will have a great season next year if Chase is healthy.
Also, as we go down the list, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 28%, followed by Saquon Barkley, 6%, and Christian McCaffrey, 6%. Wide receivers are interesting here as we look at Ja'Marr Chase and Amon-Ra St. Brown specifically, because there is a stretch of a quarter century, 25 years essentially, where there was not an award given to a wide receiver. There was Jerry Rice in 1993, and then it was all quarterbacks and running backs until the last 5 years, where we've seen Michael Thomas in 2019, Cooper Kupp in 2021, and Justin Jefferson in 2022. So this market has shifted a little bit too. Wide receivers getting a lot more love here in this market.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, we're in a wide receiver world. Look at the money that's being spent on wide receivers. Everybody thinks they're the key to turning the season around. It's draft a receiver. I mean, Joe Shane talks about it on Hard Knocks. Well, you know, we can't play. This poor quarterback's been behind this horrible offensive line. Meanwhile, in two of the last 3 years, he's been picking receivers in the top three rounds and has only picked two offensive linemen during that time. You know, so it is on everybody's mind. Oh, we need more receivers. We need to protect more. But you can't change anybody's thought on that.
Speaking of what's on everybody's mind, we're going to hit the break. When we come back, what's on Michael's mind to lead off hour two, as well as a return to our poll question of the day. Who is the biggest threat to the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC? You know what? I realized that while we're talking about who's the biggest threat, nobody's really talking about if San Francisco can hang on. I haven't really heard a whole lot of love for the 49ers that know it's theirs for the taking, which is interesting. We'll be right back. Stay with us here on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.